Our first scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah 35. That can be found on page 663 of your Pew Bible or on the screen behind me. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to all, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your Lord. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for the Lord's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beasts come upon it. They shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Here ends our first scripture reading.
Good morning, church family. First of all, I want to say thank you for your prayers and support over the many years of my studies, and I enjoyed every minute of them, except for the Sunday night deadlines. Those were a little tough at midnight, but other than that, your prayers are what got me through that, so thank you very much. I'm here today because of a text, so be careful what you text. On Pastor Bob's birthday, I sent two words, happy birthday. And I got a return, would you prayerfully consider? So here I am. So I prayerfully considered, and here I am. Today, we're going to see what happens when a horribly humdrum existence runs smack dab into the power of Christ. Our first scripture that Wayne read for us talked about the total restoration when the Messiah arrives. Our second scripture is from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It's a story that takes place in Jerusalem on a day soon after Pentecost. Let's hear what the Lord has to say to us today. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man, lame from birth, was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you reveal yourself to us this hour. Allow us to see a glimpse of your desire for our lives and to experience the power of your love. Thank you, Almighty One. The day began like any other day, and like every other day for him, in a life that experienced no variety. Since birth, this life was sedentary. Ankles and feet did not work, so he could not either. When he was old enough, begging became his occupation. Every day he would be carried to the temple by the gate and placed on a mat to beg for alms, money that was given as a gift to those who were poor. Charity in those days was honorable in the Jewish tradition. The temple was a very good place to be for those who were begging, especially those who entered the temple at the hour of prayer were in a charitable frame of mind. They were very generous at that time. Now that he was 40 years old, it took two men to carry him to the beautiful gate. The beautiful gate was most likely the main and largest gate, made of bronze, and located in the court of women on the east side of the temple, facing the gate of the sanctuary. When at morning prayer he was carried there, the gate was quite beautiful, shining as the sun rose in the morning. Today, though, he could barely get his body to move, and it was no easy task for his friends to carry him up the 15 steps to lay him by the gate just before 3 o'clock when evening prayer began. In his whole life, he had never once passed through that gate. He had never seen the other side. Neither women, nor the unclean, nor the maimed were allowed to enter. He was maimed. He settled into his spot on the uncomfortable mat and began asking for alms from all who passed by. People would toss him coins as they went in to pray, but rarely did anyone speak a word to him. It was almost as though he were part of the ground itself. He noticed Peter and John heading toward the gate, and he called out, "Alms? Alms for the poor?" He reached out his hand, but was careful to avert his eyes, looking only at the dust on the edge of the road, on the edge of his mat. Then it happened. Breaking through the noise and the people surrounding him, he heard a command, "Look at us." He lifted his head and he looked in the direction of the two men. Yes, they were speaking to him. Expecting his coin, he turned his face directly to them and his eyes met Peter's. "Look at us," Peter had said. What did this misshapen man see? He was hoping for a handout. Peter was looking at him intently. It almost felt as though this stranger was looking deep down inside of him, and it was as though he couldn't stop looking back at Peter. After what seemed an eternity, Peter spoke to him. "I don't have any silver or gold." "Oh, is that all there is then?" thought the man. "But I'm going to give you what I have." The man sat, transfixed by Peter's gaze. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." Instantly, at those words, life coursed through his body from his head to his toes, and when Peter took his hand to raise him up, he jumped to his feet. He began to walk as though he had walked all his life long. Not only that, he walked right through the gate with Peter and John. For the first time in all his 40 years, he walked right into the temple. He began to leap, bounding with joy and overflowing praise for God. And everyone was watching him leap and shout and praise God. Isn't that the beggar who asks us for alms every day outside the beautiful gate? He has been lame since birth. It's a miracle. Let's take a closer look at this miracle told by Luke in Acts. It is preceded by Pentecost, in which the Spirit of the Lord falls like flames upon the believers, who then live in a community in a radical manner, as Luke describes it, filled with awe and praising God. The apostles were performing many wonders and miraculous signs, and each day new believers were added to the community. The end of Acts chapter 2 prepares the reader for the miracle that follows in several ways. It tells the reader that at this point, the Christian community, the believers, continued their Jewish traditions and discipline of meeting and praying daily in the temple, which explains why in chapter 3 we find Peter and John heading to the temple for evening prayer. Chapter 2 tells us that the believers gave up their possessions. A good reason for Peter saying in chapter 3, "Silver and gold have I none." We learn that many wonders and signs were taking place. And indeed, in chapter 3, we have a specific wonder performed by one of the apostles. There is so much to learn about God in these 10 verses, but there are two elements I especially want to explore. I noticed that in verses 3 and 4, there is repetition of a particular verb in the English. See if you can tell what it is. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on him. Though different Greek verbs are used for each one, all convey similar actions of sight. The first, "he saw Peter and John," is a simple noticing. The second, "Peter looked intently," perhaps in an attempt to discern the heart of this man. Third, "look at us," a command, is followed by, "he fixed his attention." The beggar chose to obey the command by focusing on Peter. It seems to me that these verses are a crucible, that what takes place in verses 3 and 4 is a preparation for the miracle that's going to follow. All of the ingredients are now there. Previously, the beggar's focus had been down, inward, on himself. Now he changed his focus. He turned from himself and toward the apostles, who were acting as representatives of Jesus Christ. For 40 years, his focus had been blurred as he saw only the small picture of himself in his own little world. Then, as he turned to the representatives of Jesus, his vision was no longer blurred and he saw beyond himself to the love of Christ. The lame man paid attention to Peter and John when they said, "Look at us," and he was healed. We too have the opportunity to pay attention, to be transformed in our minds and hearts, to be healed and filled with joy. We have a choice to look, to turn and fix our focus, our attention on Jesus instead of ourselves. We have a choice. We can choose life. The second element we'll explore is the actual words of healing spoken by Peter. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." As a direct result of this sign, because the people saw this lame man healed and were filled with wonder and amazement, Peter was given the opportunity to teach, to explain, and to share the good news. In his sermon delivered on the temple grounds, Peter makes it very clear that he is not responsible for the healing. He says, "It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him. It has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." This healing was very visible. Later, when questioned by the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Peter responds, "It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." The no longer lame man standing right there before their eyes became a physical representation of Christ's power to heal and overcome death. Acts 4:14 says, "But since they could see the man who had been healed standing with them, the rulers could say nothing. They didn't have a leg to stand on." Peter clearly identified the agent of healing as Christ. The healing clearly illustrates that Jesus is alive, raised from the dead, and active. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What's in this name? Peter had the power to heal in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. However, he did not use the name as some sort of magical incantation. There is authority in the name of Jesus the Messiah. Theologian and pastor Will Willimon explains, "The name of Jesus unleashes power as it is the direct link between the living and active Lord in heaven and his community on earth. In this name, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus is present, along with his saving power. His presence and power are at work for the crippled man." Willimon cautions us not to think of Christ's resurrection as a one-time event that occurred in the dead body of crucified Jesus. He says, and I quote, "It is a divine demonstration of authority and power, a divine challenge to all the powers that hold us in their thrall. The resurrection is not something we might look forward to someday. It's a statement about power and rule today. The resurrection of crucified Jesus is a demonstration of who God is, who is in charge, where we are headed. If all of that is true, that in his name Jesus is present and living and active, what prevents us from living in that power today? If Jesus is on the move, shouldn't we be on the move with him? Maybe this lame man had dreamed once or twice what it would be like to walk, what it would feel like, but never in his wildest imaginings did he ever dream or think that it could happen. And he fixed his attention on them, hoping to receive something from them. He really had no expectation of change. He was asking for the status quo, to subsist, to exist exactly as he had every day of his life. Instead, he collided with Christ, and he received transformation. His life was never the same, never. He was asking for a coin, for some change. He received total change. What are you expecting to receive? What do you want in your collision with Christ? To be made whole from all that tears you apart? To be healed from all that hurts and pulls you down? Do you expect to rise up in the power of Christ? I have a box here. I don't know if you noticed that. It's hard to tell with all this transformation that's taking place. There's a mat and a box and a pair of crutches on it. And just for a moment, I'd like you to, in your mind, think of one thing that is tethering you to this earth, keeping you down, holding you from living in that power. You just mentally place whatever that is, a hurt, fear, sin and illness, addiction, sorrow, guilt. Place one thing mentally. And then we can open that box up and not be weighed down to the earth. Lift all that is in that box up to God. Let's do that right now. Father, this box is filled with items from all of us, the burdens that we have placed here. Your power, Lord, is with us. Power is with us always. Help us to call upon it. I ask that you release from each one of us those things that are keeping us from living in that. Thank you, Father.
What if the crippled man had not turned, had not fixed his attention on Peter and John? What would his life have looked like then? He would have spent the rest of his life carried around and put down on a mat to beg. Another what if? Suppose, after Peter had raised the beggar up and he was healed in Jesus' name, instead of leaping for joy, he sat right back down in front of the gate and continued begging. No one would know that he was healed. No one would see the power of Christ standing before them, physically represented before their very eyes. Peter and John would have had no audience for their speech, no speech, no intervention by the authorities, no jail, no spread of the gospel, no 5,000 new believers following the way. All because a healed man didn't respond with leaping and praising God, he sat back down. Isn't that what we mostly do? Sit back down. You have been called. Turn. Look at me. Imagine the difference we could make if we were living as a physical representation of the power of Christ. When you are sitting on a mat, unable to move, the world shrinks into itself. Your vision is limited, nearsighted. You see only the smallest picture. When you turn to God and fix your eyes and focus on him, your world grows. Your vision improves. It is limitless, far-sighted, and the bigger picture. It has clarity. Insight and outsight improves. At the same time, and in light of your improved vision, you begin to see self and its relationship to God more clearly. In fact, you begin to see just a tiny bit as God sees. Turning implies a newness and a new direction, turning from old actions and toward the new. If your turning takes place under the power of Christ, there will be transformation. Recognizing God, turning your attention to him, and focusing on his greatness, his holiness, his desires, will change your everyday humdrum existence to one of leaping joy. So let's collide with Christ and let's live in the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we thank you for what you have revealed to us today and for the obedience of your Son, Jesus Christ. Keep us on a collision course with him. Fill us with the joy of his power in our lives. Amen.